Step 7. Conduct the interview. At the start of the interview, greet the candidate by name. Be friendly but businesslike. Put them at their ease with some small talk. Explain the interview process and structure. Provide company background information. Discuss the job description. Invite questions. Invite note-taking for both parties. And check your body language. During the interview, using the CV, explore the candidate's background. Probe for the key information you need using your competence-based questions, the ones you prepared earlier. Which competence or attributes is the question probing for? Use your content and process questions, your SOAR questions, and your past, present, and future questions. Ask further questions based on the candidate's answers. Make brief notes. Invite questions. Keep a check on your body language. Listen actively. Be open, honest, and frank. And encourage the individual to respond in the same way. Use questions to draw out the individual's reactions and ideas. Discuss the candidate's strong points first to give emphasis to the positive. Discuss areas where the candidate may have some gaps in their skills or experience. Discuss what steps you may need to take in order to fill those gaps. Ensure your review covers all key areas of the job. Use examples as often as possible to underline or illustrate points. Discuss any points arising from your discussions and summarise from time to time. Now let's take a moment to look at active listening. Make a mental effort. A high level of concentration and commitment, as well as genuine concern, is needed if we want to listen effectively. Although the individual may be doing most of the input, yours is not a passive role. Concentrate. Listen to the individual's words, the sentences and phrases. Listen for the feelings accompanying the spoken words. Voice tone, hesitations, body language, for example. Listen also for the meaning behind the words. Try to sense whether the individual would be prepared to act on what they are saying at the level of commitment they have. Make sure you don't wander off into your own thoughts and lose the thread of what is being said. Don't try to think up your next response while the individual is still speaking. However tempting it may be, avoid filling an uncomfortable silence. A short silence might be very helpful for the individual to think things through. Avoid prejudging the individual or what they might say. Use appropriate body language. Your posture should be open and relaxed. Try to achieve a balance between rigidity and shuffling about. Maintain eye contact without staring and look interested. Smile at appropriate moments, as this generates warmth. Show you are listening verbally by use the following techniques. Paraphrase. Use your own words to demonstrate your understanding of what has been said. This also enables any misunderstandings to be corrected. Respond. Make listening noises like uh-huh, ah yes, okay, and refer to what the individual says. Use open questions to stimulate active discussion and enable you to check your own understanding. Summarise regularly, and especially at the end, to confirm understanding and to check that nothing has been omitted. Empathise by responding to feelings. That must have been a big problem, or I can see that that was causing you a lot of anxiety, or you seem to be very pleased about that. Note-taking. In an interview, note-taking is a very valuable tool. It helps you to pay attention, to organise your thoughts, communicate that what the applicant says is important, and to retain important details. When note-taking, you need to make an effort to listen. Give thought to how much your note-taking may interfere with the effectiveness of the interview. If you are constantly scribbling away, eye contact and rapport will diminish. So be as unobtrusive in your note-taking as possible, and reassure applicants that you are listening even when you are taking notes. If you are taking notes, look up as often as you can. Better still, arrange for an interview panel member who is not involved in asking questions to take responsibility for note-taking. And remember that note-taking involves simultaneous actions: talking, writing, observing, and listening for what is said and for what is not said. The challenge, therefore, is to gather notes quickly, clearly, and accurately. It is best to jot down simply the key points from your discussion. Don't try to record everything you hear. Record just enough to stimulate your recall. Your notes are not meant to be an exact record of every word said. They are memory joggers only. Get down the main ideas, facts, key terms and concepts. Include enough subordinate points or examples to clarify understanding. Listen selectively for information related to the performance to be rated and focus your note-taking on this. Limit your notes to what the applicant said or did. Don't record hunches, evaluations, value judgments or comments. If non-job related, irrelevant information, for example personal or off-topic information, comes out in the interview, don't record it. You may like to allocate a block of time at the end of the interview for expanding your notes while the issues are still fresh in your mind. It will help you if you prepare headings beforehand, allowing plenty of space for your notes, and these can also act as a prompt during the interview. The type of notes you will take depend upon the type of interview you are conducting. For example, you may be asking a question that asks for steps or actions. You will be able to either check these specific responses against your predetermined marking guide or make brief notes in point form. In other cases, you will be making notes of behaviours or a dialogue that occurs following an oral presentation that may require more descriptive information to be recorded. Whatever types of notes you take, they must give you enough information to rate applicants after the interview and to support your decision making. You will also need to refer to your notes if asked to provide feedback to an applicant or if you need to review your decision. So effective note-taking records key information. It does not get in the way of observing, listening, or eye contact. Effective note-taking is legible. It provides an accurate record of the interview discussion, and it is concise and complete. Methods of note-taking. It is worth giving some thought to the method you use for note-taking. Here are the most common methods. Linear notes. This method is the most widely used for note-taking. Its greatest advantage is that just about everyone is comfortable with using it. However, unless plenty of space is left as the notes are taken, it can be difficult to go back and add to or expand notes taken earlier in the meeting. Lined paper is best for taking linear notes. Predetermined headings. These allow you to match responses against specific questions or headings, but don't allow them to become a straitjacket to you. Mind mapping is a method of note-taking that is semi-pictorial, using words, symbols, and pictures. Mind maps, also known as spider diagrams, pattern notes, or topic webs, etc., appeal to the logical, analytical, and the creative shape recognition functions of the brain, and so contribute to the ease of remembering. They are very flexible. Remarks can be associated with individuals, links to other points can be made, and extra notes added in easily. This form of note-taking is very individual, so don't worry if other people think they look strange. One possible disadvantage is that they do require time and practice in order for them to become really useful. But this investment in time is very worthwhile, as mind maps can be used in so many different circumstances. The idea is to use keywords or symbols rather than phrases or sentences. Unlined landscaped paper works best for this. It is worth trying out different methods of note-taking to see what suits you best. Over time, you will evolve your own preferred method or mixture of methods. Bear in mind the pros and cons of different ways of note-taking and choose what is appropriate for the meeting at which you are and to take notes. Lastly, whatever method you choose to use, make your notes as logical and as structured as possible. Cutting out distractions. Cut out general distractions. Noise, windows to look out of, paper on a desk, and put a do not disturb sign on the door. Divert telephones. Keep your note-taking to a minimum so that it doesn't damage the atmosphere of the conversation. Ways to create rapport. In order to create the all-important two-way flow of communication as quickly as possible, you need to try and build some rapport with the candidate. Building rapport involves the physical setting as well as body language. In general, the more formal the setting, the more formal will be the atmosphere. Recognise that a desk creates a physical barrier between you. It is often better to set chairs at an angle to each other rather than at polar opposites, the only barrier being perhaps a low coffee table. Remember to respect people's personal space and keep a comfortable distance between yourself and the other person. This will also depend on cultural norms. Make sure that you use appropriate physical gestures at the start, like a warm handshake and a smile. Your first words will set the tone of the meeting. It is often useful to open with a few general observations, but don't indulge too much in chatter. The best rapport builders automatically alter the way they speak and move to suit the person they are talking to. A useful technique works by matching voice tone and body language to help establish rapport very quickly and effectively. Voice tone is said to be more than 5 times more influential than the words you speak. So if you want to gain rapport, try to match the other person's voice in terms of tone, speed of speech, breathing rate, volume and pitch, etc. At the same time, try to match in a subtle way their body language. This is called mirroring. Once you have established rapport, mirroring will become easier and more natural. In mirroring, you are matching the other person. Pacing is mirroring that stays in step with the other person's body movements and gestures. It is possible only once rapport has been established, otherwise it may come across as mimicry. You might then want to move on to leading. This involves a gradual change in your behaviour and voice in order to create a shift in the other person. For example, having gained rapport with a nervous person, you are likely to want to lead them into a better state of communicating. Little by little, you would adopt a slightly more relaxed approach until the person is ready and able to communicate more effectively, resulting in a fruitful interaction for both parties. Similarly, if you are frustrated by the slowness of the other person, you must avoid displaying any impatience, but instead slip into their rhythm and match it. Once you have paced this and built rapport, you can gradually increase the rate of your voice and movements to lead them into a speedier mode of behaviour. However, this will only work if the other person does not feel manipulated. We all have different ways of achieving rapport with people. However, using the following suggestions will help you to get started. Maintain good eye contact. Smile. Use relevant humour. Look and sound relaxed. Use names. And get them talking. At the end of the interview, summarise the discussion. Give a summary of the job, including any relevant employment terms and conditions and package information. Check to confirm that you have all of the necessary information. Give the individual an opportunity to add anything else they may want to say. Check to confirm details of the candidate's availability. Explain next steps and timescales. Invite questions. Give the candidate a tour of the offices. Thank the candidate for attending the interview. After the interview, summarise in writing the main points of the discussion. Review the interview and make a note of what went well and what you could improve. If you have another interview to follow with another candidate, make sure that you allow enough time to have a short break and then complete your next round of preparation. Once you have completed all of the interviews, you will need to begin your decision-making process. But first, take a little time to reflect.